You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to share a message today with you about the victorious and glorious church. Victorious and glorious church. In the last days, the attack will be on the church more than what you will ever see, more than what you can ever comprehend. But God gives us the assurance that He is busy building His church. Amen. In the book of Matthew 16, verse 18, He says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus declares this victory over the church. He says, "I am going to build my church." This means Jesus Himself is personally involved in building His church. And He said, "The gates of hell will not prevail." I mean, that's just some statement. Who wants to talk about hell? We've had a week with a bit of hell in it. Come on, don't be over spiritual. We've had a bit of a tough week. Let me see. Yes. So, you know, Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. He just gets to the point. He says, "Listen here, I want to just tell you, whatever hell is going to come against you, it's not going to be able to prevail. Because I'm involved. I'm busy building the church. I'm putting things in place. Number one, I'm telling you, what you loose here on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven." He says, "I've given you the key, so start using it." Amen. Can I just put it out there? We've got a bad habit here in South Africa where we often say, when people ask you, "How's it going?" we say, "The devil is loose. The devil is lost." Have you ever said that? Okay, don't raise your hand, just double blink at me. But why are you loosing the devil in your house if Jesus says you've got power in your tongue? Don't do that, amen? Take control of your situation. So if the devil is loose and you're always saying it, why are you complaining? The church is the reservoir of God's power. I realize more and more that Jesus is building His church. And sometimes even people are pushing, even Christians are pushing against the church. I'm surprised how many people will say, "I don't have to be in a church." People saying that, making that statement, but not realizing what they are saying. There's enough scripture to prove to us that you have to be in a church. As a matter of fact, it's safer for you to be in a church because Jesus is busy building His church. Let me just give you some scriptures. Matthew 18, verse 17 says, "And if He refuses to hear them, tell it to the church." Let me just give it to you. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have Twitter. They didn't have WhatsApp or email. So if they wanted to tell it to the church, they couldn't just send it out to everybody. That was the local church that it's talking about. Amen? Acts 8, verse 1. "At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem." There was a church in Jerusalem. Acts 13, verse 1. "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were many," or there were certain prophets and teachers. Teachers, prophets, I believe they should function from a local church. Amen. It's the way that God does it. He operates. Not doing anything on your own. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours." Amen. Revelations 1 verse 11. "Write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Victorious church. Glorious church." Psalm 92 says, "Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish." Many people are flourishing just because they're in church, because they're connected to God's house, God's body. Amen? So Jesus was clearly communicating to his disciples, and he's saying, this is just before Peter had the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And he says, I am building a victorious church. I want to give you the assurance that the gates of hell will not prevail. But family, you have to be part of that body. You have to find your place in the body of Christ. And that sometimes it takes time. But I can tell you that the Holy Spirit will lead you, because God is interested in his church. If you in humility and sincerity say, I'm looking for the right church, I'm telling you, you'll find it very quickly. Because God is busy building his church. Amen? Victory is promised to the church. In the last days especially, the attack will be to get you out of church. Place something in your heart to get upset not to go to church. People don't come to church because of church. They don't come to church because of an individual or a person. Anybody ever upset you in church? Somebody sat on your favorite chair, your special Holy Ghost spot. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 10 verse 25? It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm not saying Jesus is coming tomorrow, but one thing is sure, that day of Jesus coming is approaching us. Amen? And it's closer than ever before. The Bible says, in the book of Hebrews, as you see the day approaching, the last days, make sure that you're in a church. Don't get into the habit not to assemble, but be in a habit to assemble. Listen to what the Passion Translation says. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. You know, after COVID, many people have got the habit of not coming to church. They rather watch on their phone, on the computer, on TV. Am I talking to the right people here? In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. So he says, in the last days, your habit should be, let's get together, let's come together. I need you like you need me. Let's come together, let's pray. Let's come together, let's encourage each other. Let's come together, let's share the word of God. He says, especially as you see that day approaching, let your habit be to come together. Let your habit not be not to come together. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about the church, and I was so blessed as I started studying it to see how much the Bible actually says about the church. How many times there are certain types referring to the church. And I'm definitely going to go to Ephesians 5, where it talks about the body of Christ and Jesus Christ and the husband and the wife. But you know, that scripture reference there where it says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and he'll be joined to his wife, where it refers to that in Ephesians 5. That's first mentioned in the book of Genesis with Eve, with Adam and Eve. So even Eve is a type of the church. Eve is a type of the church giving us a message. Amen? Ephesians, the wife, is a type of the church. God speaking to us to teach us about the church. Revelations 11, the woman is a type of the church. And then Revelations 21 talks about the bride of the Lamb. Amen? Turn to the person next to you. Say, victorious church. Victorious. Say, glorious church. Glorious. You know, when I think about projects, have you been in a project where you got excited about it? Or an assignment you were given, you were excited about it? When I look at church, and I see Jesus, the Savior, involved, makes me excited, To think that God Himself is involved when it comes to this. Amen. Are you ready? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 23. You know, people can never, ever in their entire life ever read the Bible, but there's one scripture that most men can quote, even though they've never read the Bible. And it's not Ephesians 5:23, but it's the verse just before that. You know what verse that is? Do you know what verse that is? Have you read it? Now everybody's going quiet on me here. Most men can quote Ephesians 5:22 without even ever reading it in their whole lives. Okay, I'm going to read from verse 23. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be so serious. Turn to the person on the other side and say, don't be so serious. I'm going to read verse 22 for you guys, okay? It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Turn to the person next to you, say, own husband. So that's the first thing. You don't have to submit to all of mankind, ladies. You have to submit to your own husband, amen? But can I tell you something? When husbands adhere to the following things, I've seen you never ever have to bring up submission. You never ever have to discuss it ever. All you have to do is you just have to focus on the men doing these things and women automatically submit. Very, very easy. Amen? That's the word of God for you. Amen. So let's read from verse 23. We got a bit distracted there. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, can you see subject, submitted, committed? So let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Turn to the person next to you, say, husbands have to love their wives. Amen. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Turn to the person next to you, say, glorious church. Say it again, say, glorious church. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. That is what he is busy with. Okay, where is a husband and a wife? Can I have a husband and a wife as a couple to come up quickly? Anybody? Okay, Michael, call me a little. Okay, yes. Oh, yeah, we've got matching. Oh, beautiful. Okay, you guys come up well as well. Come up as well. Come up as well. We can use, come up. Beautiful. Okay. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Okay. Come and stand here. Look at them. No, look at the church. Husband and wife, you stand here. Christ and the church. Amen. Hallelujah. The church wants to look like Christ. Amen. Christ allows her to look like the church. So here, what happens? Christ is looking at her. Look at her. He's loving her, loving the church. When he loves the church, it's easy for her to love back. Amen. Okay, husband and wife, look at each other. Romantic eyes. Amen. This is husband, wife, Jesus, church. So if you want to know how a husband should treat his wife, just go look and see how Jesus is treating the church. Amen? If you want to know how wife should talk to her husband, just go see how the church communicates with Christ. Not very complicated. Give the Lord a hand. So he is busy working in her, sanctifying her, cleansing her, giving her advice. So let's go back to husband and wife, Adam and Eve, okay? Or let's use the example, God, woman, okay? What happened in the garden? When Eve took her eyes off God, and focused upon the things around her, that's when she fell into deception. So we as the body should keep our eyes on Jesus. As soon as we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when the deception comes in. When we start focusing on other things, what did he do? Okay, I'll play the devil. I'll be the serpent. Okay, that nobody feels condemned. Amen. Don't put me on Facebook and say the pastor said he's a devil, okay? I'm using this as an example, okay? But when the devil came and he made her think a fantasy that she could be like God while she was already made in God's image, made her long for something that wasn't really there. She took her eyes off and started looking at that. You know how many times it happens to us in the church? Where our focus should be on Jesus, but we take our eyes off Jesus. Let me read this quickly. Ephesians. Are you there? Verse 27. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Can I ask you the question? How many any such things have you allowed in your life that's taking your focus away from Jesus? Any such things? Can I tell you something? Your Jesus time, your focus upon Jesus time should be more than your Facebook time. We cannot spend more time on TikTok looking here, because if we are looking at any such things here more, these things can cause spots and wrinkles in our lives as the church, where we should be looking to Jesus. He says, I'm giving you this example so that you can understand. He says, that's why, he says, the qualification for an elder, if you want to serve in leadership, get it right at home. Get it right at home here, then you'll get it right in the church here. Can you see how important the church is? Because every time you come into God's presence, we are being changed from glory to glory and from strength to strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you. You guys look great. So some of you, you don't need marriage counseling. You just have to take some time and think, okay, how does Jesus treat the church? And then you as a husband, you know how to treat your wife. He floods her with love. He solves problems for the church. He's working in you and with you and through you to perfect everything concerning you. Amen. He anticipates what would happen and just solves the problem. Ladies, you know how you are towards God. Amen. The way you talk to God. The way she says, I love you to Jesus is the way that you talk to him. Amen. If you have that approach, that heart towards your husband, makes it easy for him as well. The way that you respect God, honor your husband. Amen. Gentlemen, the way that you know Jesus works with you, or the way that you want Jesus to work with you, husband, you work that way with your wife. Or would you be happy to talk to your wife the way that you talk to wife if Jesus spoke to you in that way? Amen. Amen. I'm just busy reading the Bible. Amen. So this is the advice that God gives us. So social media has corrupted many of us. Many of us. Listen to what Colossians 2 verse 8 says. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. He warns the church in Colossians, beware lest anybody cheat you. You know what cheat is? Cheat is when you think somebody is going to do one thing and they do the opposite. We cannot allow our minds to be corrupted. Be careful of this thing, that it does not corrupt your mind. Amen? You cannot spend more time on this or in this than in the Word. If you want your mind to be renewed by the Word of God, you're going to have to read more of this and less of this. Because if this dominates your mind, why do you think you're battling with negative thoughts? Because negative thoughts you have to replace with this. Amen? Let me show you quickly here. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. Remember, Eve, a type of the church. Look here what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. He says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness. Who did the devil attack? The woman, the church. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He says, you know the truth. Don't step into that trap. Amen? He says, be careful, Corinthians. He's speaking to the church. He says, be careful that in the same way that Eve was deceived, don't you get deceived by a different gospel, a different spirit, a different Jesus being preached to you. Am I talking to the right people here? He says, the simplicity of the gospel. You know what's the simplicity of the gospel? Jesus loves you and he died for you. He's made a way for you and me. Amen? A different spirit. The Spirit of Christ raised us from the dead. The fruits of the Spirit are very known to all of us. Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23. We are not just here to see his works, but to learn his ways. Amen? To show love, to show kindness, humility, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. Satan deceived her through craftiness when she did not understand these things. Amen? He made her think there was something else, something more. Made her think that God was keeping something from her. Am I talking to the right people here? She had everything. And the devil deceived her and made her feel that God didn't love her and he was keeping something from her. Whereas she was made in the image of God already. You know what this teaches me? That was a sinless environment. There was no sin there. It was a sinless environment, and she could get deceived. How much more can we get deceived here in a sinful world? Am I talking to the right people here? Nobody can say, I cannot get deceived. You know, that's why I need a brother next to me to say, listen, you're out of line here. To say, I'm my brother's keeper. That's why I need the body of Christ. That's why I need my wife sometimes to say also, can speak into my life like I can speak into her life. Amen? Go read the verse 21. It says, submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. You know what that means? The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. That means if there's something in my life that is sinful, maybe I've been hard and ruthless with my mouth. You know, it can happen. My wife can say to me, hubby, that was a bit harsh. That wasn't nice. Say, hey, I'm the head of the house. Who do you think you are? No. In humility and sincerity of heart, I want to change. I don't want to start to walk in deception. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Can I touch on something else? What did he say? He said, submit to your own husbands. Us as the church, we submit to Christ and Christ alone. We are submitted and committed to Christ and Christ alone. It's not a matter of combining our strength or something else to us to serve God. She gave up her reality of walking side by side with Jesus every day and made it about herself. I'm going to be like God. And that privilege to walk with God, she gave that up. And in the church, this is the warning that we shouldn't make it about us. It's about Jesus. Amen? He's the center of the church. The person that should feel the most welcome here in the church is Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit every single day. Amen? This is what church is all about. Many people have started to believe that they don't need the church. I can be on my own, me and God on our own. God doesn't work and operate on his own. God always chooses people and he works in and through people. Amen? He's busy building his church. Amen. Turn to the person next to you, say, victorious and glorious church. Can I tell you something? The devil will always use half-truths to deceive you. He'll bring you, you know, if you want to, you take the best piece of meat, if you want to kill a fox or a jackal on the farm, they'll take the best piece of meat and then put poison just on the one side and let him eat all the good stuff, but then he gets to the poison and that poisons him and kills him just like that. So people take half-truths. That's what the devil did with Eve. He gave her half a truth. That's why you have to know the Word of God. That's why you need people around you that when you go a little bit off, because nobody is perfect, amen? Let me just see. We all miss it sometimes. Let me see your hand. You've missed it. We all miss it. That's why I need you like you need me. We are one another's strength. Told her a half-truth. He comes to the church as well and he says a half-truth. You are the church. That's the truth. You are the church. But you have to find your rightful place in the church. But you cannot function out of a church. Can I have an amen? Amen. You have to be submitted and committed in a church. I believe that more than ever before. The devil uses half-truths. Turn to the person next to you and say, the devil uses half-truths. That means he's going to tell you a little bit of the truth to deceive you, to get you out of fellowship. Many things taking people out of churches, baiting us, falling for things, but there's protection in the church. The end result was to get her out of fellowship with God. And that's what she had to sacrifice. When she took her focus off God and placed it upon herself, the trouble started. Romans 1 verse 25 says, you exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. The purpose of the church is to serve and worship God. We are here to serve and worship God. You know, the dream team, they gather together before a service to pray. And we pray and we ask, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Empower us for Christian service. To go out, to touch people, to help, to make a difference. Amen? So, I know we're facing a lot of challenges, but God gives us a promise of a victorious church. So those things, those other things, I believe God gave us some of those other things to watch out for as the church, especially in the last days. Would you like to know what of those things? You know, sometimes when you know the devil is going to come with something, then you can be ready. You know, when you know, then you can be prepared. So in the book of 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, he gives us a warning as the church. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is a warning. So please take note. Amen. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Tough times, wild times. You just have to drive to work today, then you see it's wild times. The way people are driving. Perilous driving. Perilous behavior. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, they will be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. He warns us and he says, this is what's going to happen, for men will be lovers of themselves. It talks about people that will value their own opinion more than God. Let me just tell you, when people are full of pride, it says in the last days, people will be full of pride, they will be boastful. You know what's the danger with that in the church? When there's pride in your heart, you cannot draw close to God. Because God resists the person who's full of pride, but he draws close to the humble. It says people will become boastful. Arrogant. This ought not to be in church. Thinking that we are better than other people. Special groups and cliques in churches. It should not be. Can I have an amen? Amen. Talks about self-control. You know, self-control is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He says there will not be self-control. People will be without self-control. They just say what they want to. They'll be brutal. You see sometimes what happens on social media. What people say about each other. Christians saying about Christians. People attacking ministries. This pulpit is not a launch pad to attack anybody. But it's to build up. The responsibility of the Levites, the priests, in the Old Testament was to bless God's people and to bless God. We're not here to break down. We're not here to bite and devour with our mouths. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh where you bite and devour each other, lest you yourself be consumed. It says people will become headstrong, stubborn. Made a decision, that's it. You can show them the scripture, but they'll say, I don't agree. That's not my view of seeing it. Proverbs 18 verse 1 says, a man that isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. So if you're not part of the body of Christ and you're isolating yourself more and more and more and more, you'll just start to resist the truth more and more and more. You'll want your own desire more and more. That's what Eve did. Her own desire. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need the church. Now turn to the person on the other side. I thank God for the church. I thank God for a living church. Amen. We're not here to change the gospel to suit us, but we hear so that the gospel can change us, that we can align ourselves with the Word of God so that we can be that bride that Jesus Christ is coming back without spot, without wrinkle. Amen? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The church is not a place of entertainment. Amen? Yes, let's have fun and but lovers of pleasure. This is not about pleasure, this is about God. Amen? We come together to love God, to glorify God, to magnify God. Amen? To give Him the rightful place in our hearts. Not entertainment, the rightful place. Not about giving me a good feeling. Amen? You know, I'm always surprised. People, they don't want to be part of a church, but they want to go to heaven. What do you think you're going to do in heaven? It's a congregation up there. Surprise, buddy. You know, we're not called to do things outwardly, but what's going on inwardly? That's what it's all about. He says, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. Wanting to sing songs but they don't want to worship. Because when you worship, you have to worship in spirit and in truth. You have to invite the Holy Spirit. You need God's presence to help you. Otherwise, you're just singing songs. You're just being entertained. That's not church. That's not church. I'm going to close with this. We cannot create light, but you can prepare your heart for the light so that your light can shine. Amen? When that light comes into your life, you can shine it. When you go to Zechariah 4 verse 2, the Word of God comes to the man of God and he says, what do you see? So what do you see? Because there's a look of faith. What do you see? And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking. And there's a lampstand of solid gold and a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it. One at the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and I spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and he said, this is the word of the Lord, Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So this is the word that he speaks. And if you go on to the next, go to verse 11 quickly. Then I answered and I said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and I said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he said to me, these are the two anointed ones who stands beside the Lord of the whole earth. When you go to Revelation 11 verse 4, he says, these are the two trees in front of God, in God's presence. So if you go now to Revelations, quickly, Revelations 1 verse 12, John now is in the Spirit, and he says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about his chest with a golden band. Just go to verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So we don't need any revelation. This is just Bible reading. He's saying, these lampstands that you saw, it's the seven churches. He says, and these lampstands each are connected with pipes to this olive tree. And there's flowing oil from there to the church. So a living church, number one, there's anointing, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So a living church is where the Holy Spirit can feel welcome. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Number two, in the book of Revelations, he says, what do you see? He says, I see the Son of Man, the Son of God, in the midst of the churches. In a living church, Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is exalted. Jesus is number one. Not a man, not anything else, not the ministry, but Jesus. That's what it's all about. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. So if we want a church, I haven't even gone to Ephesians 4 that says every member finding its rightful place and the body starts building itself up in love. So what you need to do is find your rightful place. Many of you that need a breakthrough, you don't need more prayer. You just need to get submitted and committed in a church and everything will fall in place. Amen? I've had many people just tell me, they come to church, he says, Pastor, I'm just sitting here because you're the anointing that's here. I feel depressed, but when I sit in church, the depression lifts. Why? Those pipes that are linked to that olive tree, that anointing that's flowing in here. Jesus that's in the midst, moving around, touching people's lives. So when you come to church, Jesus is building you up, lifting you up. We love quoting this, Ephesians 3:20. God who is able to do far more abundantly, exceedingly above whatever you could dream, whatever you could imagine, whatever you could ask through the power that works in us. Am I right? What does the next verse say? What does the next verse say? Verse 21. To him be glory in the church. That's where it happens. If you want God to do far more abundantly, exceedingly above whatever you could think or dream, the context, he says, give glory to God in the church, because that's where that power is. The church is the reservoir of God's power. I want to encourage you. Psalm 92 says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. They will flourish. Amen. Some of you, for God to bring restoration in your heart, just go make a decision. Where is God planting you? And get planted in a church, in a living church, where that anointing is flowing, where Jesus is in the midst, and he gets the rightful place, being glorified, being magnified, and you'll see what God will do in you and with you and through you. See you later.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.